more contractors than ever are losing their government business to suspension and debarment. The Government Accountability Office reports even agencies that don't have much history of suspensions and debarments filed 14 times more cases since 2010. Ron Schechter and Kristen Ittig are partners at Arnold & Porter. They are looking at the rising trend of suspension and debarment cases and what it means for contractors doing business with federal agencies. Folks, thank you very much for joining us. Kristen, I'll start with you. Are you seeing in your practice a commensurate increase in suspension and debarment cases to what the Government Accountability Office is reporting? Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you for having us. Yes, we absolutely are seeing an uptick in suspension and debarment activity. The report shows that there's a dramatic uptick, so it's clear there are more actions there. What we can't see from the report is whether the increased activity is occurring based on quality or based on quantity.
And Ron, that's where I wanted to go next. I wonder how much of this is happening because agencies are pushing the concept of suspension and debarment, or how much of it is because Congress is pushing the idea on the agencies, and what that means at the contractor, the company end of it, what kind of pressures they're actually seeing.
Well, I think, unfortunately, there is a bit of a numbers game going on, rather than a focus on whether the agencies are actually doing a better job of ensuring that the government is doing business with responsible companies. We've seen instances, Kristen and I and others, in which the agencies will suspend a couple of people. And that counts as two, without really taking a systematic approach to ensuring that the companies in general are presently responsible. The agencies are these agencies and agencies in general are responding to GAO reports. They're responding to congressional pressure. Congress likes suspension and debarment if they see it as a solution to a lot of problems, without really focusing on what the goal of doing business with presently responsible companies should be.
Kristen, Ron, I think, very eloquently describes this as a quality versus quantity situation and gets right to the issue, which is the bottom line of the laws surrounding suspension and debarment to me seem to determine or to produce ways for agencies to do better contracting and get better results for the taxpayers rather than as a weapon to number one, satisfy Congress, and number two, to try to get compliance before the process even begins. Is this something that is manifesting itself in the companies that you're dealing with, where companies are coming and saying, we are part of a numbers game, we believe that this is an appearance issue and not a performance issue?
I think that's certainly a concern, but for the most part, I don't see the agencies actually taking action in a gotcha kind of manner. I think they are trying to make sure that they are doing business with presently responsible companies, and that's a goal that we can all get behind. I think there are instances where it does seem to be more retaliatory, and that's certainly the atmosphere that we see in Congress. There's legislation in each session asking for mandatory suspension and debarment for various offenses when, of course, it's supposed to be an exercise to determine whether a company is presently responsible.
And that's, Ron, that's the issue that I guess I go to next, is when somebody comes to you and says, here's our situation, is there a standard operating procedure in how you have them proceed or how you proceed with them, or is each case different depending on what the circumstances are?
Well, there are always differences among cases, but the kinds of issues that you want to look into with a company, if a company either discovers a problem or finds itself under investigation, you want to get out in front of the government if you can, conduct your own internal investigation so you and the company understand the facts. You want to ensure that the company has appropriate compliance processes and procedures in place. A code of conduct, training for its employees and executives, internal investigations and audits and things like that, like a hotline. The government expects, and in fact many contracts require, large contracts require, that companies have those procedures in place. And then if you find something that is troublesome, what we try to do is be proactive, not a word that I particularly like, but I'll use it here, proactive in bringing the issue to the attention of the agency suspension debarment official before they hear about it through some other means. And to follow up on a previous point, the best suspension and debarment offices are not looking just to put for numbers. What they're trying to do is if a company has a problem, they will work with the company to ensure that on a going forward basis, the company remains presently responsible. You do that through a negotiated administrative agreement. That won't show up in the kind of data that the GAO is reporting, but companies will use those administrative agreements to upgrade their compliance systems in a way that I think benefits the procuring agencies, the taxpayers, and frankly, the company, because they're just a better, better and more compliant company under those circumstances.
Kristen, Ron mentions the GAO data, and the Government Accountability Office usually their job is normally to go and look at an issue as charged by a member or members of Congress. And I wonder if it's your thought that members of Congress are asking the GAO to look at the right stuff when it comes to suspensions and debarments so that maybe there's other data that they could be using or that they could be provided by GAO to make whatever decisions they're going to make legally about what laws they're going to pass and how they will propose that those laws be enforced, or just about how they will approach the topic of suspensions and debarments more broadly.
Right. In this report, GAO is absolutely responding to congressional inquiry. This report in 2014 is a follow-up to a 2011 study that focused on these same six agencies and found that in terms of numbers, they didn't have a lot of action. And so I think this report is a follow-up to the previous one, and that's why it focuses on those same numbers. I agree that it would be much more helpful to have a report that studied the substance of the actions and looked at what agency actions took place in the face of perceived contract or misconduct.
Ron, is that information that Kristen's proposing, is that hard? Would that be hard for GAO to collect? Does that information exist in a collectible way?
I believe I am almost certain that it does. In fact, Kristen and I are dealing with one of these agencies, one of these six agencies now. And I won't name it because it's a sensitive matter, but what we are hearing from them is not about the number of cases that they have, companies they've suspended or debarred, but just the number of matters they have looked into and resolved. Again, an appropriate resolution, it can be a negotiation of an administrative agreement, and they maintain those data. I'm sure that they do.
Your insight, both of you, on this is very much appreciated, and the advisory that you have published will be linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, and I thank both of you for your expertise today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.